Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we've been talking about ministry and money. And the past few episodes, we've been talking about some specific issues that have come up regarding our thoughts in general, what we've been taught about vocational ministry. And by that I mean when you're being a minister is your sustenance, how you make a living. And we start with the supposition that we're all ministers because our basic nature, if we've been born again, if we have been born of spirit, is to give. And that's all ministry is giving what we have received. Now, we haven't talked too much about why the situation we have with the Christian church these days, you know, it really isn't living up to what Jesus laid out there as a normal church. We're doing anything but turning the world upside down. We are not doing things greater than he did. We are not loving our enemies so much that they are no longer our enemies. They're instead just taking advantage of that love. So we could go on and on about generalities and specifics about where the church has failed. But our approach to ministry, I think, is one area that we can point to as a cause of that failure. And by that I mean so many of us conclude that leadership is leadership if there's an educational aspect to it, or an age aspect to it. If someone has been a Christian for a long period of time, there seems to be an assumption that they know what they're doing, that they know God, that they have valuable experience. What we find out, though, as in life, just because somebody's made it to 90 doesn't mean they've necessarily done it with grace. And likewise in ministry, just because someone has been a Christian a long time doesn't mean they've learned anything, doesn't mean they know God. Likewise, thinking about someone who may have gone to the very best seminary, graduated first in their class, and then is sort of rewarded by being given a church or a ministry of some kind. And they may have learned everything that was necessary to administer a church or a fellowship, and administer, be a leader. But that's not necessarily what we're looking for or what we need. We're kind of in the situation where we have the leadership we've asked for. We have the churches we've asked for. Most churches make very few demands on the true healing or growth, true growth, of its members. Pretty much, if you throw in some money and throw in some time, you're considered a member in good standing. So what if your marriage is on the rocks? You're taking money under the table. You've never even met God. None of those things matters. You've done what has been required of you to be a member of the church or a leader, and that's pretty much what we've gotten. So when we look at our satisfaction level, it's when we really think about what would a Christian on fire look like? What would Jesus look like if he was as he was 2,000 years ago, if he was walking around, forget the sandals and the tunic, would he settle for what we settle for? What would his status quo look like? And when we look at what by his resurrection specifically, the change that came upon those followers, those who loved him and those who knew him, were changed. And they could not help but share what had caused that change. Most of us have never experienced that kind of change. Doesn't have to be that way. We have settled for being an acceptable Christian. And of course, this is, not across the board, and we're all in this boat together. We all, have our lives to live, and most of us don't know how to know God better. We think we know, but if we really knew what it was we needed to do and that it was worth it, we'd be doing it. But because we can get by, even in the emergencies, we pretty much expect an emergency to come and go, and that we will just, pray about it and get on our knees and fall on our face before God to cry out for his help for as long as it's necessary, and then we stop. And I'm not saying that's what we need to be doing, but we need to find out for each one of us what it is that's keeping us from knowing him better, what we're believing that needs to change, what we're doing with our time, for instance, that needs to change, but also recognizing that desire comes from God. But also, right now, recognize that you do have the desire. You do have the hunger and the thirst because it's in your spirit. Your spirit is working on your soul even as we speak. And the degree to which you're really not wanting to put forth the effort, you're really not wanting to put forth change or time, that's really your soul wanting to maintain control. It's not that you don't have a desire. It's not that you don't know really, even if it's just in general, what you need to do. It's that your soul doesn't want to let go of doing things its own way. And of course, we have our other enemies, not just our flesh, our self-life, our soul wanting to do its own thing. We also have the world system, and unfortunately, the church is part of that world system. Think about when was the last time that the church impacted your community in a meaningful way. Our charity is so watered down, we're afraid to speak the name of Christ. We can't pray for somebody for healing because we're afraid they're going to sue us, or we're going to get reported, or there's going to be negative consequences to even praying for somebody. We can't hardly be Christians in public anymore, let alone show forth what God's power and fire is really meant to be. So it's convenient for us to conclude that it's not for now, because there's risk involved, and sometimes it's real risk. But remember, your spirit has already settled all these questions. In your spirit, you have already done what has needed to be done. You've been born again. Your spirit is finished and eternal. You have the eternal life that you need. When Jesus said, "Greater things shall you do because I go to my Father," he didn't say, "Greater things shall you do as long as you memorize the Bible. Greater things shall you do as long as you fast for 40 days. Greater things shall you do because you belong to the right church, or you have enough faith, or you have the gift of healing." What was the condition? There was one condition. "Greater things shall you do because I go to my Father." The condition was met by him. So it's in you to do those greater things. Now, this is not about going out and proving something. It's about recognizing where our soul is deluding us. How easy and subtle our own soul can be in blinding us to the opportunities that are present even now. Now, this part of this gets us back to the way God created us, and that we're here in a position, whatever situation you're in, is the situation God created for you. So we go, okay, well, what do we do with this? Every day is an opportunity. You can't go back yet. We haven't figured out how to do that yet. Someday we will be able to thoroughly redeem the time. But for right now, you can't go back and correct your mistakes, make different decisions, get closer to God. So many Christians, especially as they get older, feel they've missed God's calling and they can't go back and get it back. They can't be restored to the promises that God gave them. Well, those are just lies. Those are just the soul winning, the soul maintaining its lordship over us. And again, your soul has plenty of help with the other enemies, the world system and the devil. So it's not that we're discounting the formidable forces that are arrayed against our own desires to know him spiritually. But also, what we want to recognize is that it's easy to simply turn. And what have we been learning? Our first response to any situation, Lord, is that you? When we hear, you know, a desire in our heart, I want to do this. Oh, isn't that cool? Wouldn't that be neat? You know, I'm not equipped. That I don't ever see that happening. You know, that'll never work for me. That's not my gift. As soon as our desire from God flares, our soul is there to stamp it out. And when we recognize that it's not about ministry, it's not about, our focus doesn't need to be on our ministry, on what we're doing, what we're giving, what we're sharing. Instead, our ministry is on knowing Him. Our focus is on knowing Him, knowing God, spending time with Him, recognizing that as we do that, there will be a natural outflow. It's like when you start to really spend the time with Him, that silences your soul. The flow that comes through makes its own way. It's like when you start filling a cup, and if you continue to fill that cup, it will overflow naturally. You don't have to go seeking for the river to overflow its banks. It will happen. And we can trust God that He will have us ready for whatever we have, whatever He has in store for us. But that's ministry. And for some, it comes out as a vocation, this is how you make your living. So we've been talking about, again, some of the, I won't say excuses, but thoughts or myths that have taken root in the Christian church about ministry. And having been involved in a variety of them, there's quite a few misunderstandings and presumptions about ministry. And probably the biggest one is that it's not work. That it's easy, that you don't have to work at it. But that's just my own personal experience, is running into many situations like that. But let's just continue talking about some of the beliefs that are out there and address some of the concerns, some of the, you know, beliefs, so you can get them off your table. You want to be able to just come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not going to worry about what my ministry looks like. I'm not going to worry about the outflow, how you give through me. I'm just going to focus on the income, on you coming in, spending the time, testing what I hear, following through, getting healed, dealing with those things that you have me involved in now, being prepared, knowing that, okay, there is going to be some way that what He puts in will overflow and be given out. But if you need to do more, He will teach you. Like if He wants to send you to, you know, Africa to be a missionary, He will not only put that on your heart so that you will desire it, He will instruct you in what you need to know to prepare for it. If it's joining a group, if it's getting additional training, whatever. So it's not like we just go off, you know, we've all heard that by faith. Well, I'm just going to, you know, start the process. I know God's called me. He's going to take care of every way, every step. Well, part of the process is being wise and counting the cost. But we don't want to get too focused. And since we've been talking about ministry, we want to sort of keep the balance there, that ministry is an outflow, not a goal. So one of the big myths is the whole idea of a lineage ministry, that if your parents were ministers, that you should be a minister too. And I've heard that my parents were ministers, and now the mantle has fallen on my generation. That's very often followed by, what else would I do? And in a lot of these kinds of situations, ministry is a default setting. You know, we all know, you know, big evangelical families that their kids get involved in ministry. It's like the family business. Except ministry is not a business, not a typical one. And you can't inherit relationship. Now, it's great that parents set a good example for their kids, but the Lord doesn't have grandchildren. The Lord's ministry can't be passed down from one generation to the next, because relationship, his personal presence, can't be passed down. Just because your parent knows God, or your spouse even knows God, doesn't mean you do. It's not a reflection on you. God's ministry is to give what has been received. Not by your parents, but by you. What have you received? God doesn't care who your parents are, and neither should we. That's part of our problem is with the Christian churches. We figure, okay, if they've got the last name of so-and-so, or even if they're on the staff of so-and-so, they must be closer to God. Say must be true. They must have the ear of God. Now, having family involved in public ministry may even be a hindrance to someone that's truly developing a relationship with the Lord, because it may obstruct the complete freedom that God desires when we approach him for direction. In other words, we may be filtering every question or consideration with that expectation of, because my family is in ministry, I'm going to be in ministry, so that takes these other options off the table. And it might just be those other options that God wants to talk to you about. So we and others may have certain expectations tied to our name or reputation, which must be relinquished in order to receive what the Lord has for us. Is the Lord free to minister through us totally without public impact? Is he free to minister through us with a greater impact? We want to be depending on the Lord, not our preconceptions or even our heritage, whether it's a good one or a bad one, to identify the projects he wants us to be working on now. And I want you to start thinking, changing your thinking, that if God has assigned you a project, and he has assigned all of us a project, may be a very minimal one. You know, it may just be a level of, okay, I want you to be spending X amount of time with me. That may be your project for now. Odds are throughout our each of our lives, it varies. Sometimes he gives us very specific projects to work on. Sometimes it's very vague and it's just to rest in him. Regardless, those things are our focus of as a project, but our dependence on him is how we achieve those projects. We don't decide what to do on our own. So when we look at what our projects are, we could even say those projects are the expression of our ministry. It's an area where we are learning to share, even if it's just through obedience to him, ministry. This always comes back to, we have this whole idea of ministering to God, which is a whole other program. But we have this idea that God is needing something from us. Well, let me just assure you, he has no lack. He doesn't need anything. You're off the hook. He's not waiting for you. He doesn't need your ministry. He already has it. He's not waiting somewhere up on the cloud waiting for you to glorify him or tell him how great he is or how honorable or perfect or anything. He's not lacking in any way, so he doesn't need us to do anything. And in our spirit, we're fully acknowledging, without saying anything, without communicating at all, but by being with him, there's that perfect oneness that is his goal. So when we look at how we are to minister, it's not just being in ministry. And the problem with being in a family that is involved in ministry is that too often the other kinds of projects are off the table. And the Lord doesn't want you to settle for that. He wants you to be open for what he has for you. Another option we hear out there is, I want to be able to spend all my energy, efforts, and time with God. Besides, being involved in public ministry will keep me safe, close to him, and in God's will. But the church in general, and ministry in particular, was never meant to be a haven from the world or a guarantee against making mistakes. On the contrary, instead, we are a city on a hill, not a walled fortress, but a city lighting the way for the world to come to him. We welcome, we beckon, we don't protect ourselves against. We are part and partaker of the things of this world. As we grow in dependence, it is likely that God will place us in circumstances in which he seems a million miles away. Not so that we will trust him because of our security, but because of our lack thereof. If it's obvious that he's protecting you, there's no trust involved. If you desire true dependence on the Lord, and let me assure you, you do, and if you truly desire to give what you have received, and yes, I assure you, you do, the Lord is likely to lead you into situations which you would never desire or ask for, and you are not equipped to handle them. If you were equipped to handle them, you wouldn't need him. But as a spirit being, you are already spending all your spiritual energy, efforts, and time with God. So the goal is dependence in your soul and body. He knows how to get you there. You don't. Let him assign you the projects, call that your ministry, and let him take it from there. But raise your expectations about what is possible, and don't compare or judge what that ministry might be with what you see in the world today. So thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. You can get in touch with me at diane@therainersclub.org. Have a great night.